This programming sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about the variety of life insurance options and annuity or retirement plans is available at relevantradio.com, keyword COF.
The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at relevantradio.com.
It is 5 minutes after the hour, and we welcome you to On Call on Relevant Radio. On this program, each and every single solitary day, we are very blessed to be joined by leading Catholic clinical psychologists and physicians and authors and experts and spiritual directors. And they join us each day to help us face life and its many challenges with mature wisdom and confidence, and above all, with our beautiful Catholic faith. I'm your host, Wendy Weiss, and before I introduce our special guest today on this, the birthday of our Blessed Mother, in place of our usual daily prayer to the Holy Spirit, Relevant Radio, the Knights and Dames of Malta, and the National Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help invite you to unite with us in prayer throughout the day by praying the Memorare to Our Lady of Good Help for those in the path of Hurricane Irma and for the continued recovery efforts from Hurricane Harvey. You are also encouraged to visit relevantradio.com, where you will find a lot of information on how to assist everyone in need. But please join us now as we turn to Our Lady and ask for her intercession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Thank you so much for praying with us. And it is always a delight to welcome to the program a regular contributor, Dr. Joseph Coyle. He is a licensed psychologist offering psychotherapy in person and by phone. I think a lot of therapists are doing that these days. He is board-certified professional Christian counselor, offering his clients the opportunity to integrate religious and spiritual aspects into the work that they do. He is located in the Boston area in Waltham and Norwell, Massachusetts. As I said, he joins us regularly, and we would greatly appreciate it if you would remember to pray for Dr. Coyle and his family and all of those that that he assists there in Boston. I'm very sorry about your Patriots. That was kind of a shocker, wasn't it?
I know. I missed that one, too, so I'm upset to hear that, so it's probably better that I missed it.
Well, my daughter is affianced. She's engaged to a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and I think he's floating somewhere over the Earth's atmosphere. I mean, he is. It's a nice way. I'm sure, probably just a fluke, but a very nice way to begin the NFL season. And
hasn't started out well for us.
Well, it is beyond early, so I have a feeling that Tom Brady is going to be just fine. But you are joining us today to talk about something that needs to be discussed, and it is anxiety, and certainly how relief can be as close by when you think about it as Catholics, as our rosary, as any prayer that we have in the treasury of prayers. Within our faith. But my mother is actually in the path of the hurricane. It has been a very stressful week, and so we could almost look at this as an hour of personal therapy, Dr. Coyle, because I believe I have redefined anxiety this week. But there's so much of it, and I'm talking, of course, about the millions of people in this country who have loved ones in Florida who literally are in the path of this monstrous hurricane. So we do need your help. But is there a difference between, and I suppose I should start off by saying, what is the difference between people who regularly are afflicted with anxiety and the anxiety, you know, that we're all sort of experiencing this week with all of these storms, both in southeastern Texas and now in South Florida?
A lot of it's a matter of degree and the way that psychological problems and disorders in our manual for psychologists and mental health treaters are defined. There has to be significant impairment in at least one sphere of the person's life, social, occupational, personal, these kinds of things. So, you know, it's a matter of degree. I think it's even the question kind of points to the fact that anxiety and stress is something that we all experience. And, you know, to some extent, we shouldn't be thinking of ourselves the worst for it or thinking there's, you know, something wrong with us necessarily. Certainly, the events of these past several months, there's cultural anxiety with storms. There's just, you know, kind of this primal anxiety, you know, on that level, and those are all very normal. But it's a matter of degree. Some people struggle with these things constantly, you know, no matter what's going on in the environment. So I guess you could think of it that way, that, you know, sometimes in the past, human beings have this fight or flight response when there was a big tiger that they had to run from. And these days, people have the response, but there's no tiger in front of them, and they have to figure out what exactly it is. So in times like this, when there is something clear to point to, you know, you can look at that as a reasonable response to threat. But some people, you know, really have that kind of reaction physically, psychologically, much of the time, even without what most people would consider a threat.
But you do see an increasing level, increasing rates of anxiety and anxiety disorders.
Yes. You know, by far, anxiety and depression are the two most common things that I run into. And, you know, the things that would generally lead people to call me or somebody like me. You know, and I think people have tried their best and, you know, very reasonable techniques and attempts at managing things on their own before they reach out to a professional in a lot of cases. But absolutely, you know, anxiety is one of the most common, and unfortunately, you know, I don't see it going away. I certainly don't see a trend down. I see a trend up, if anything.
It almost feels like we have culturally defined anxiety as more of an emotion than a physical response. I hope that makes sense. You know, that, oh, anxiety, well, you know, just don't worry about it. And it's not that easy, is it?
Yeah, and it depends. I think it's a good point because sometimes, you know, more and more these days, stepping back and looking at the physical symptoms and the quote-unquote medical issues that people come in with, more and more, you know, there's work by holistic researchers and practitioners to say, well, wait a minute, look at the emotional contributors to these kinds of things. It's kind of all connected. So it's artificial to say this kind of ache and pain is medical and this is psychological. You know, sometimes you do yourself a disservice to think of things that way. So, you know, this artificial split that we do sometimes can be better served by integrating it and looking at the ways that, you know, you might notice that your aches and pains are physical symptoms, your heart going fast, trouble breathing, these kinds of experiences increase when you're under stress. That's kind of a common sense, you know, statement that most people would agree with, but a lot of times they don't stop to try to apply that. So anxiety, as you say, it's considered mostly thought-based, but we don't understand that the great impact that can have thoughts and emotions on our physical bodies.
And often an anxiety attack, if we are to believe what we read, it can mirror or mimic the symptoms of a heart attack, can it not?
Absolutely, and many people present at the emergency room with those symptoms and are told that, you know, they do an EKG and other tests to rule out cardiac issues and sometimes a stress test and so forth, and they're told, you know, your heart's fine, it's anxiety. So I regularly see people that, you know, have that as their presenting issue when they come in or if they've had that in the past.
We're going to be talking about anxiety this hour, and you know the rules. You are welcomed into the conversation at any time. You can phone in anonymously if that makes it easier for you. But if you feel anxious, if it is just sort of episodic, if it's something that's caused by all of the things going on in the news today, if it's an ongoing issue, maybe someone you love has become noticeably anxious. Dr. Joseph Coyle joining us today. If you are in the Boston area, his website is josephcoyle.com. That's Joseph, C-O-Y-L-E. .com. He's in private practice in Waltham and Norwell, Massachusetts, and he's in private practice today at 877-766-3777. That's our Catholic Order of Forester listener line, 877-766-3777. This is Talk Radio for Catholic Life. This is Relevant Radio. Join us. We'll be right back.
2017, the 100th anniversary of the Fatima apparitions.
Father Andrew Apostoli, the question that we all ask when Lucia said, when will we go to heaven?
Yes, right. She was very concerned about that question, wasn't she? In fact, in the very first apparition, she said to Our Lady, when she asked Our Lady where she was from, and Our Lady said, from heaven, she said, will we go to heaven too? And so she got a yes, that the three of them would go to heaven. But the next apparition, she asked again. She said, are we going to go soon? And the answer was a little bit shaking to little Lucia, because Our Lady said she would take Jacinta and Francisco soon. She would take Lucia later.
A little bit later, and in divine time, that turned out to be 2005.
That's right. But she had to be around long enough to confirm that the consecration was made. So that was very, very important.
Live the message of Fatima. Learn how at relevantradio.com, keyword Fatima.
Now, with Relevant Radio stations coast to coast, you're part of one big nationwide radio family.
You're never alone.
It is funny that you go to these events. You know, I'm always going to some event, especially if there's free food. But you meet somebody who says, oh, I listen to Relevant Radio. And there's an instant kind of, you know where they're going in life, and they suddenly do become friends. When you meet someone who's a Relevant Radio listener, it's like, oh, we're playing on the same team. We are family, part of the great Catholic family.
I remember Chuck Neff and I were driving down Cicero Avenue for some event, and there was a person in front of us. This was a terrible thing. I shouldn't have done it. Person in front of us with a Relevant Radio bumper sticker, and I got out and knocked on our window and said, hello. I'm Father Simon. That's Chuck Neff in there. It was great fun. She was listening to Relevant Radio.
You made that person's day. That's great.
Your Relevant Radio family is always here for you.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
Relevant Radio.
It's 9 months since the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, the day on which we celebrate Mary's conception without original sin in the womb of her mother Anne. And today, we're celebrating Mary's birth. Hello, I'm Father James Kubicki, and little is actually known about Mary's early life. According to tradition, she was born in Jerusalem, and a feast on her birthday has been celebrated since the 5th century. We celebrate her birth because without Mary, the mother, there would be no Jesus, the Son of God who became flesh. Mary is like the dawn that precedes the rising of the sun. And that's exactly how St. Alphonsus talked about Mary and Jesus in his book, The Glories of Mary. Here's how he put it. Before the birth of Mary, the world was lost in the darkness of sin. Mary was born and the dawn arose, says a holy father. Of Mary, it had already been said, who is she that comes forth as the morning rising? As the earth rejoices when the dawn appears, because it is the precursor of the sun, so also, when Mary was born, the whole world rejoiced, because she was the precursor of Jesus Christ. the Son of Justice, who, being her Son, came to save us by his death. The Church sings, "Your Nativity, O Virgin Mother of God, announced joy to the whole world, for from you arose the Son of Justice, who has given us life eternal." So that when Mary was born, our remedy, our consolation, and our salvation came into the world, for through Mary we received our Savior.
For more prayer resources, go to relevantradio.com, keyword pray.
It is 20 minutes after the hour. This is Talk Radio for Catholic Life. This is Relevant Radio, the on-call program. Drew Mariani is next as Sheila Logminas takes a closer look at 6 Eastern. We're talking about anxiety with Catholic therapist Joseph Coyle. He is in private practice in the Waltham and Norwell areas of Boston, the great city of Boston. JosephCoyle.com. The number in the studio is 877-766-3777. By the looks of it, Dr. Coyle, we have really struck a nerve today because the phones are completely jammed. There's a great deal of anxiety out there, and people are looking for some relief and some help. And we're grateful to you for being with us today and of course, providing that relief and that help and explaining how our Catholic faith is often the best remedy and the most beautiful source of relief. Let's go to Anonymous on line one. Welcome, Anonymous. You are on Relevant Radio with Dr. Joseph Coyle.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
I'm calling because I've been having some panic attacks. I'm a 53-year-old overweight female, and I've been having a lot of panic attacks, and they're really scary, and I am wondering at what point, because of the blood pressure going up and the heart beating so fast, at what point does that cause physical damage to where it really does affect your blood pressure and your risk for having a stroke or a heart attack while having a panic attack?
That's a great question. That kind of thing, you should be consulting with a primary care doctor or, you know, initially and potentially cardiologist about. I can't speak very well to that. What I can say is that the experience of a panic attack, while it's terrible, can't last very long. Typically, panic attacks average around 20 minutes or so. People sometimes say they last for hours and even more sometimes, but the most intense period of it can't last that long. Your body can't physically stay that amped up and release that much adrenaline very long. And that's one of the cognitive techniques that we use to try to help people to settle down, is to understand that. As Wendy said, sometimes it's tough to differentiate if there's something medically going on, particularly in the initial panic attacks or the initial anxiety attacks that you're having. But just to try to keep that in mind can be of help. So concerns about that, you know, you certainly should get a physical exam if you haven't, and be, you know, mindful of health and wellness in general. But, you know, there might be other things that you can do as far as monitoring your body, monitoring your breathing throughout the day, taking good deep breaths from your belly, low in your belly, which sounds like a kind of a little deal, but breathing problems tend to be a real key with panic attacks. There might be times throughout the day that you're holding your breath or breathing too shallowly, so just thinking about that can be helpful. Also, watching the general tension in your body, taking a scan of your body from your head to your foot, periodically throughout the day, set an alarm on your phone to go off every hour to try to check in with how you're holding stress in your body. Some people hold tension in their body at a pretty high level in general. Even when they say they were resting, they're still physically tense. So the more you can keep an eye on that and work on noticing that and breathing through that and doing some exercises that would help you to relax, bringing a good imagery to mind or bringing prayer to mind, thinking of a peaceful place in your mind and doing some slow breathing, deep breathing like that can help loosen up your body and stave off the attacks.
How does that sound, Anonymous?
Yeah, that I do notice, like, my breathing. I find myself when I'm driving that I'm, like, really tense and I'm, like, getting dizzy and I can hardly breathe. And then I start, you know, even if I feel good, like, thinking, oh, I'm making it through, I'm not going to have a panic attack, and I start feeling good, like butterflies in my stomach, then next thing you know, I'm in a full-blown panic attack. So, yeah, I would definitely start watching my breathing and maybe what that physical part about checking your body, you know, from head to foot. I mean, what are we to do, like just kind of, you know, exercise or do stretching every hour or?
Yeah, you could do stretching. You know, even the act of bringing your awareness to those parts of your body. Sometimes people hold stress in different parts like their neck and their shoulders, upper back, lower back, clench their jaw, you know, and so if there was something that you could use to kind of snap you back into it and take a check on how you're doing with that, sometimes all it takes is to say, oh, yeah, my alarm went off now, how am I doing on this? Oh, yep, I'm clenching my teeth, okay, I have to stop that, I have to slow down, I have to relax. Sometimes there might be things that you're getting engrossed in, either work-wise or reading or something on television, you don't even realize that you're tense. So it's about kind of expanding your awareness for that and just bring your attention to those areas and trying to slow your thought process down and just, you know, even sometimes imagery like imagining if you find tension in your body that you have a clenched fist that's slowly opening or the tension is like ice that's slowly melting. You know, you can play around with it a little bit as to what works for you to just get yourself to a more relaxed state.
And I find, and again, it might sound simplistic to some, but I find that meditating on the mysteries of the rosary, that if you breathe in and out while you're meditating, Dr. Coyle, I mean, it's right there in front of us, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's that meditative aspect to the rosary that is so applicable and practical for situations like this. So absolutely, people finding, you know, the prayer that works for them or what can they say when they realize that they're stressed out a little bit or their body's tense. Again, it's a matter of figuring out what gets you back to that place of equilibrium and relaxation.
God bless you, Anonymous. And let's move now to Anonymous on line two, very patiently waiting. Thanks for holding, Anonymous. You are on the air with Dr. Joseph Coyle.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And can a panic attack cause numbness, almost like paralysis on the side of the mouth and bilateral numbness of the limbs, the hands and the feet?
It's possible. Again, that's something that you'd want to get medically checked for. Certainly, that would be a more extreme case. Numbness and tingling, yes. Paralysis is a little more extreme, so that would get my radar up for, is there something else medically going on? I think technically it's fair game for something that could come under panic attack, but you definitely want to get that checked.
Anonymous, we thank you. So promise you'll see a physician. You'll have your daughter-in-law see a physician, but we're happy that you were able to connect with Dr. Joseph Coyle. The website, josephcoyle.com. If you are in the Boston area, listening to WSJW 550, booming out of Providence, Rhode Island, he is very close by, josephcoyle.com. Let's go to Mary in Chicago, listening to 950 WNTD. Mary, welcome to Relevant Radio.
Hi, Wendy. Thank you so much for taking my call. Hello, Dr. Coyle. I actually had, it's kind of a combination of a comment and a question. I have a 13-year-old who, since she was about 5 years old, was showing some pretty significant signs of anxiety. It started with her twisting her hair and pulling it out of the side of her head, and then that kind of led into anxiety that was so bad she was refusing to go to school. And so that her last year of grade school, she missed, I think, 42 days total. And so, you know, she goes to a Catholic school, and they were very, very kind and called us in and said, listen, we just, her anxiety is to a point where, you know, we're not equipped to help her here. And they wanted her to go to, like, a therapeutic day school. And my husband and I knew there was something else going on, but
Mary, we're gonna have to interrupt you right there. We'll hold that thought, and we're playing the music. That means we have a hard break. So hold through the break. We'll come back, and Dr. Joseph Coyle will be able to help you with your daughter's anxiety. This is Talk Radio for Catholic Life. This is Relevant Radio.
How are you sleeping on that pile of lumpy foam you call your pillow? Here's the test. Do you make room in your luggage for your pillow when you travel? I do, and that's because I sleep on a MyPillow. Back, side, or stomach sleepers, there's a MyPillow for you. Patented fill, made in America with a 10-year warranty, and my favorite part, the 60-day money-back guarantee. Try MyPillow, and if you're not satisfied, send it back. There's a reason most of the Relevant Radio show hosts have MyPillow, and now it's time for you too. Go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code RR, and take 50% off a 4-pack. That's 2 premium pillows, 2 travel pillows. They're machine washable, you get free shipping, a 10-year warranty, and that 60-day money-back guarantee. MyPillow.com, promo code RR. MyPillow.com, promo code RR.
You recognize this man?
I love this guy.
John Harper, MD, missionary disciple.
Is it a lost art, missionary discipleship, or we just don't know what it is in 2017?
Relevant Radio contributor Marcel Lejeune.
What Pope Francis is talking about, missionary discipleship. This is where we've matured in our faith and we're on mission, bringing the gospel to your workplace and your family and your neighborhood, but then also walking with them. What Pope Francis calls accompanying other people on this journey. We've stopped journeying personally with people and modeling this way that Jesus shows us. And it's an unfortunate thing because now to try to recast this for most Catholics, it's almost speaking another language. It really is going to take some time and investment from those who have started to lead the way again.
Talk Radio for Catholic Life to start your day. Morning Air with John Harper and Glenn Leverins. Weekday mornings at 7 Eastern, 6 Central on Relevant Radio.
Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, with unemployment in the U.S. at its lowest levels in 16 years, experts are talking about the economy as if though it has fully recovered from the housing crash. But other measures of how Americans are doing, well, it reveals a darker picture. Almost 8 out of 10 Americans say they live paycheck to paycheck just to make ends meet. I'll explore why and what you can do to change that. Plus, we'll pray the chaplet for your personal needs. Be sure to join me 3 to 6 Eastern for that and more right here on Relevant Radio.
Giving voice to our shepherds.
Talk Radio for Catholic Life. Relevant Radio.
Archbishop of Newark, Cardinal Joseph Tobin.
Catholics have to look at the possibility that we've incorporated this red state, blue state mentality into our church. And so that we don't speak to each other, we don't want to hear each other's ideas, we can't deal with criticism because of that. So that was the one thing that I would suggest. I think we can be true to ourselves if we can help bring the country together to say that whatever our differences are, whatever the ideologies that, you know, float our boats, we can still talk to each other. We still have to listen to each other and work for the common good.
Cardinal Joseph Tobin, giving voice to our shepherds. Talk Radio for Catholic Life. Relevant Radio.
One heart at a time.
On the next Inner Life, when the mountains of your life get steep, are you able to persevere in the tough times? Father John Girardi will help us persevere on the journey.
The whole fast of the faith, when the winds blow or when apathy comes, to be able to hold fast to Christ and to know that He is holding us.
I'm Chuck Neff, inviting you to join us on the next Inner Life, noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio.
Hey, have you seen the Confession Helper in the Relevant Radio app? It has resources like an examination of conscience, acts of contrition, prayers before and after confession, and no internet connection is needed, which is perfect for when you're in church for confession. If you don't have the Relevant Radio app, don't wait another minute. It's free in your mobile device's app store.
Thank you.
This is Relevant Radio, talk radio for Catholic life. The on-call program today featuring Catholic therapist Dr. Joseph Coyle. He's in private practice in the Boston area in Waltham and Norwell, Massachusetts. He is in private practice in our studio today, and the number is 877-766-3777. We're talking about anxiety, and these are obviously very anxious times, but we do have the resources and the fullness of our faith and so many prayers to rely on. And we are weaving that, of course, into the discussion most significantly. But Mary is on the line in Chicago, and she's concerned, Dr. Coyle, about her daughter. And you were actually thinking about sending her to a how did you describe the school, Mary?
Yeah, it's called a therapeutic day school. So basically,
wow.
So that's what the school, again, out of nothing but concern for her, suggested. But as I was starting to say, my husband and I had just a sense that, you know, that wasn't a good fit for her. So Wendy, per another show that you had, we went to CatholicTherapist.com and found a Catholic, kind of theology of the body-based therapist that worked with adolescents. And, you know, about 20, 30 minutes into the first session with her, she looked at my daughter and looked at my husband and I and said, "Has she ever been tested for celiac disease?"
Wow.
And we said, "Well, no, but neither of us have it. Doesn't run in our family." And she said, "You know, I want to work with your family, but I want her to have a celiac panel." And so I called the pediatrician, who kind of rolled her eyes at me. And I said, "Would you please do it? Because my daughter really likes this therapist." And sure enough, it came back. She had an advanced, full-blown case of celiac disease. Mm. And the therapist said that, you know, she said she is seeing more and more cases of people who, you know, present with what looks like anxiety and depression. And she said, "I always have them do a celiac panel," because she said, "I am finding so many people, they're physically sick. They're not necessarily anxious." And, you know, so since we've completely, you know, it's a genetic autoimmune disorder, and so you have to completely eliminate the gluten. But the way she described it to us was that, you know, if you have celiac disease and you're consuming gluten, you know, that feeling of having butterflies in your stomach, you have it all the time. And she said, you know, it probably did start when she first started, you know, manifesting those signs of anxiety. So, Doctor, I don't know if that's something you've encountered. We were pretty shocked with that news. And we subsequently tested all of our children, and they all have it. So, including another one of my daughters who had also started to exhibit some of those same symptoms of, you know, anxiety and lethargy and depression. So I was just wondering if that was something that you've ever come across before, because it was all news to us.
It's great. It's great for you to share that. Yeah, the population of children that I work with is very slim, so I'm mostly with adults. So I can't say that I've come across a case like that off the top of my head. Certainly with adults, anxiety, depression, aches and pains, you know, medical issues, and then finding that celiac was the cause of that is definitely something I'm seeing more and more of as well. So it's very helpful and fascinating to see that even those kinds of behaviors, you know, with hair pulling and other kinds of impulse control types of anxiety can go along with celiac disease. It certainly makes sense, but it's really not intuitive. So that was a great diagnostic catch by your therapist there. That's excellent.
Thank you so much, Mary, because that will certainly plant a seed, I'm sure, in the minds of other parents who are potentially looking at something similar. So we're thrilled that you called in today from Chicago. Let's go to Anonymous Online 1. Hi, Anonymous. Welcome to Relevant Radio. You're on the air with Dr. Joseph Coyle.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, can anxiety really do a number on your stomach? I feel like I'm sick all the time. I've been to my doctor. They gave me some pills to reduce the acid. I've been on that for 8 weeks. It's been time to come off of them. And I'm sick every morning. I'm 61 years old. I'm not pregnant. And sometimes I am sick throughout the whole day. And so I had never been like this, never. Resilient. Take any tragedy, boom, I'm okay. But this summer, there was many different things, one thing after the other, babysitting, barking dogs, and just ratcheted up, I guess, my anxiety. And I started getting the stomach issues. And I did hear that your stomach is like your second brain. The gut is like your second brain. So now what do I do? I'm going to a gastroenterologist in November to find out. They've done tests, blood tests, nothing else is wrong, you know. So I don't know what else to do.
Absolutely, yeah. People can respond differently in different parts of their body. So some people, and again, to the extent that there is an emotional component to this, there certainly can be, you can have somebody that's a stomach responder. So the anxiety goes to your stomach. You can have someone that has migraines. You can have someone that gets aches and pains. You can have someone that has panic attacks. So it expresses itself differently in the body. So it's certainly possible that you have anxiety expressing itself through your stomach, and you have very good insight there as far as that there is this connection with, you know, the gut. They talk about the gut and the relationship between stress and your stomach. You know, even there's something called irritable bowel syndrome, which is more and more seen and studied these days as kind of this crossover of a physical issue with a clear anxiety component. That might be something to rule out for yourself, or just, you know, take a look at that, the criteria of that and treatment for that. So, yes, very clear contributions from anxiety there. Some things you might do, again, you're doing all the right things as far as ruling out GI problems. I would really try to back up and take inventory as to, you know, you gave some information there on when this started, but take a 10,000-foot view of your life at that point. What else was going on? Were there any significant changes? Was there a move? Was there losses in the family? Anything else that we can kind of, you know, sink our mitts into as far as emotionally charged events for you? Or is there something coming up? Is there something impending? Is there something hanging over your head, a certain diagnosis in a family member or something going on, you know, that we can try to tie that to? Because I think it would be kind of unusual from a psychological standpoint for something just to suddenly develop like that. Certainly there can be things that we're hiding from ourselves that are going on, or we're trying to, you know, push out of our awareness. But I would be looking for some kind of story as to what was going on for you that was tough when this started. Things that you can do in addition to that kind of inventory and certainly monitoring yourself, as we talked about already, monitoring your body, trying to see it coming sooner and sooner. You might feel a little rumbling in your stomach or a little gurgling, and you know, there's something going on. It's a red flag. I'm starting to get on the wheel now. I'm starting to, my thoughts are starting to go. I have to stop myself. You want a little plan that you have, and what are you going to do when that happens so you can kind of intervene sooner and sooner, so that you interrupt and prevent this kind of cycle. So again, prayer can be helpful, things that you enjoy, things around the house that you can grab, puzzles or paintings or something you're working on, something you're reading, again, something that centers you. You can be doing imagery, literally imagine your stomach, try to picture it settling down, picture it calming down, picture yourself, you know, feeling lighter and just without this kind of pain. What's a recent experience that you can point to that was very relaxing? These breathing exercises that we talked about, any of those things like that can try to center you and get you back. You can bring Jesus into it. You can picture him sitting there with you. You can picture him putting his hands on your belly, calming you down. What things would he say to you? You know, bring that in. See Mary on her birthday today, wrapping you in her mantle. Any kinds of images there that you can gravitate towards that are relaxing to you that you can pull from to get yourself back into that state.
That's great. Thank you.
I think he only gave you about 35 helpful hints there. So I know that one of them will certainly work for you, Anonymous, and we'll be praying for you too, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you. Thank you for phoning in. for Dr. Joseph Coyle. The website, josephcoyle.com. That's Joseph Coyle, COYLE.com. He's in private practice in the Boston areas of Waltham and Norwell, Massachusetts. If you are listening on 550 WSJW booming out of Providence, Rhode Island, josephcoyle.com. And it's interesting to hear Anonymous talking about anxiety and her stomach issues, because I think we've probably all heard that there's a, that we, each of us has a weak part of our anatomy, you know, whether that is the back, the neck, the shoulders, you know, chronic tension, headaches, what have you. Is that true? And obviously I would think that a lot of people, present that tension or that anxiety in those weak spots. Any truth to that?
I mean, I had to give a very hand-wavy answer to that because there's nothing I can point to that I have my fingers research-wise or otherwise, you know, talking about how this stuff shows up. But in practice, more and more I'm fascinated by people coming in, and the feeling that I have is when you don't feel your feelings, your body does its best to hold them somewhere.
Mm.
And we can get to capacity, and then things start to wear down. So, again, keep it simple. When you feel sad, cry. When you're angry, let it out. You have to do these things appropriately, but we have all these ways that we twist ourselves and choke off this emotion, and it, our body's got to do something with it. It's got to go somewhere. It's physics. So the ways that we can, you know, really release this stuff, I'm big on catharsis. Get it out of your body. The more you do that, the better.
Because you are so right. Even if you think that you are hiding or repressing or, you know, holding, tamping down those emotions, they will find their way out some way. So we'll pick that up on the other side. We also have emails coming in for Dr. Joseph Coyle. He's a Catholic therapist in private practice in Boston, josephcoyle.com. That's Joseph Coyle. Coyle.com. We're talking about anxiety, and the clock is ticking. We're running out of time, so please phone in if you are being troubled or if someone you love is being troubled by anxiety. 877-766-3777. That's 877-766-3777. The Relevant Radio toll-free studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about their variety of life insurance options and annuity or retirement plans available at relevantradio.com, keyword Forester.
Who is it?
Drew Mariani.
I look at everything.
I love listening to Drew Mariani.
From politics to the faith.
The issues of the day.
How do we keep our kids Catholic?
Healthcare reform.
North Korea.
How do we make it relevant to people who right now are so disconnected from the faith and from God?
U.S. immigration policy.
We need to become the saints that God created us to be. That's what we do here every day.
Thank you so much for your show.
It just enhances your faith.
I just love it.
Tell others. Follow us on Facebook. Hit the like button on the show page. Follow us on Twitter at Drew Mariani. Mariani's show, and you'll be able to get a lot of the articles, a lot of the discussion we talk about on the show.
It's always fun. I mean, I enjoy what I do here because every day it's something different. And I hope you will tell others about the show, and I hope you will have them listen on the station you're listening to or online at relevantradio.com or on our mobile app.
Keeping you connected.
The Drew Mariani Show. Stay up to date. Weekday afternoons at 3 Eastern, 2 Central on Relevant Radio.
Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant Radio Executive Director, Father Rocky.
People are looking for good news in a world which is often dominated by bad news and terrifying news, and we really try to bring that good news. And that app has just been a wonderful addition to our lineup of bringing good news to people in the audio format, in the video format, in the printed format. And we're really excited about it because according to statistics out there, it's the number one Catholic radio app in the world, and it's free.
The continuously updated Relevant Radio app. It's in your app store.
This is Talk Radio for Catholic Life.
John Harper of Morning Air.
We talk about solutions. We look at the issues of the day, both nationally and around the globe, through the filter of the truth of the church. We have fun and marry it with faith. And we take you all around the world to meet some of the best people that you'll ever want to hear on the radio to help you in your faith journey. That's what we do here on Morning Air.
Morning Air with John Harper. Weekday mornings at 7 Eastern, 6 Central on Relevant Radio.
is 11 minutes before the hour. This is Talk Radio for Catholic Life. This is Relevant Radio Coast to Coast, and we are visiting with Dr. Joseph Coyle, josephcoyle.com. That is the website for those of you living in the Boston area. Maybe you're living closer to Providence, Rhode Island, listening to WSJW, josephcoyle.com if you'd like to make an appointment. If you would like to make an appointment right now, the number in the studio is 877-766-3777. And I mentioned an email. Dr. Coyle, recent tests point to a return of my cancer. My anxiety level is very high, and praying isn't helping to alleviate my fears. What can I do? Thank you, Anonymous.
For things like this, there's a example from Mother Teresa that I love and that I come back to. There was an interview that I saw with her where they talked with her about working with lepers, and they said, "We see that you do this work with lepers. Aren't you afraid that you're going to get it? And maybe you're not, but what about the sisters and the young women that are working with you? Isn't there fear that you're going to get it?" And her answer, she said, very matter-of-factly, "We take all the necessary precautions that somebody should take, and we have all these preparations that we do, and it's very unlikely once we do that that we would get it. But we have to be ready that if it's God's will, that he's allowing that to happen, that we have to be ready to make that sacrifice in order for the work that he's given us to do." And so, very matter of fact, and you can analyze the theology behind that for weeks, and it kind of punches you right in the stomach, the level of faith that she has, which is very hard won and hard to get to. But the punchline to me is, there's nothing that I could do to make her have anxiety, because that level of faith, that God is running the show, and there's nothing that can happen without passing through his hand and without him allowing it for some reason, even terrible things like this for the reasons that we can't understand, we're still supposed to defer back to that and get consolation that his hand is on us. So if there's anything that you could take from that, from the wisdom from her and from other saints, Thomas More's another one being led off to his death, "Nothing can come but that that God wills, and I make me very sure that whatsoever that be, seem it never so bad in sight, it shall indeed be the best." Okay? So this isn't turn that frown upside down, and it's not to say this isn't a horrible thing that's happening there, but God is still running the show even in the midst of this. If there's anything you can grab onto there to point you in that direction and to apply that faith that you have even in this terrible circumstance, please do it.
And for the emailer, I will read one of my favorite prayers, something that I rely on regularly, the prayer of St. Francis de Sales. "Be at peace. Do not look forward in fear to the changes of life. Rather look to them with full hope as they arise. God, whose very own you are, will deliver you from out of them. He has kept you hitherto, and he will lead you safely through all things. And when you cannot stand it, God will bury you in his arms. Do not fear what may happen tomorrow. The same everlasting Father who cares for you today will take care of you then and every day. He will either shield you from suffering, or he will give you unfailing strength to bear it. Be at peace and put aside all anxious thoughts and imaginations." St. Francis de Sales, we will be praying for you, emailer. I can promise you that. Let's go to Shirley in Rockford, Illinois. Shirley, hi. Thanks so much for your patience. You are finally on the air with Dr. Joseph Coyle. Welcome.
Hi. I'm a pediatric dietitian, and I just wanted to confirm the caller, Mary, that had her children tested for celiac disease, and that was the cause of their behavior. In children, that is very common to see that as being the thing that may lead a child to be diagnosed with celiac disease, where a lot of times adults will not have that. Adults will have more of the diarrhea and the other symptoms that are typically out there, but I see a lot of children who have been diagnosed or who didn't really notice that there was a behavior problem until after they went on the gluten-free diet, But I just caution all of your listeners that you really need to be diagnosed with that and to having a problem with gluten and not just go on it on your own, because you might be having some nutritional deficiencies that could also cause some behavioral changes. So before you go on the diet, you really need to be positive that you should be on the diet and not just do it on a whim or because somebody is telling you that it works for their particular child or whatever.
Great.
Okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you for that, Shirley. Absolutely. There's always the understanding on this particular program, and certainly with this particular Catholic therapist, that you need to see and be seen by a physician before taking any steps, certainly yourself. The number in the studio is 877-766-3777. I have read of people who consider themselves, you know, they are completely immersed in their faith. They are devout Catholics. And anxiety leading in some way to scrupulosity. In other words, if I'm a good Catholic, I shouldn't be anxious. I'm sure you see that actually in your office, Dr. Coyle. What would you suggest to those people?
Well, yeah, you don't want to be tied up by your faith, right? And we're not exempt from the human condition here, too. I think I certainly hear things like that, and also certainly around anger. I think anger for Christian people is a tough one, because if you're not careful, you can get into a mode where you feel like you have to be kind of floating above the earth and not bothered by anything and just, you know, always having a smile on your face and looking on the bright side, and that's not how it works. So we're called to be, you know, working these things through. We have an ideal that we're striving for, but we have to, you know, we're emotional people, and we have to be, you know, aware of that and not holding ourselves to some standard that's, you know, gonna add more pressure to us. So certainly scrupulosity, you know, in the level of obsessive thinking, OCD, this kind of thing, you sometimes see that going on. Can be a real issue for folks, and I try to steer them back to, you know, it happens a lot in prayer life that I now have demands that I'm putting on myself. I have to say certain prayers over and over, and I didn't say them quite right, or I have to examine my conscience perfectly before I go to confession, and it can take me hours to do that. You know, and these things, I just think the perspective of if you can't have some level of peace and relaxation when you're turning to God, that's really tragic. You know, that should be the point where we have some level of relief. So to really, you know, bring some ammunition to that and say, I'm not going to accept that, and this needs to be the point that I get my batteries recharged, not that I'm burning myself out and you know, kind of destroying the whole intent of prayer and so forth, and becomes this mechanical drudgery. You know, we're supposed to be strengthened by it. So, you know, but it can be very hard to get that mentality. I'm constantly, you know, cheerleading for people to look at something again. Where does your relaxation come from? Where is the peace? And how can we fan that into something that becomes a fire for you that's more and more common in your life?
And picking up on something that you said, we are emotional. You know, we're human beings. We're fallen human beings, and we are emotional people. Parents and emotions. I think there are a lot of people out there who try very hard to raise their children to keep their emotions always in check, always under wraps. What would you say to those parents?
Well, that there can be real, you know, negative consequences of that. Again, I'm very low-key on most topics, I think. You want to have a sense of moderation, right? So certainly if you're coming down and conveying the message that emotions are bad or, you know, negative emotions are not tolerated in the house, that certainly can be something that's internalized by the child, and as they grow up, again, this idea of it's got to go somewhere, so these problems in later adulthood, addictions and depression and so forth, can be the consequence of that. So, you know, you want to have a balance on that, on what's appropriate expression versus totally, you know, locking ourselves up.
JosephCoyle.com, JosephCoyle.com. God bless you, Dr. Coyle. Thank you for being so generous with your time and your talents today. The Drew Mariani Show is next on Relevant Radio.
Thanks for listening to this hour of On Call on listener-supported Relevant Radio. For information on guests and topics, go to relevantradio.com and enter keyword Wendy. That's relevantradio.com, keyword Wendy.